Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Dave, good afternoon, my friend. How are you on this fine, beautiful, sunny day, March the 13th, year of our Lord, 2024? Dude, it's a beautiful day out there. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. Good to see you, buddy.
Nice to see you.
So much going on. This is the kind of a day I wish we had 2 hours to do a show.
Oh my gosh, it's jam packed, man. There's breaking news everywhere. It's gonna be tough to jam this all into 20 minutes. My bro Chris, shout out, number one fan of the show. He's like, Frank, drive time. Got to keep it to 20. Keep it to 20 minutes. If you go over, it starts. I'm all on the way out of the car, so we're trying to keep it to 20, Chris. That's for you.
Yes, we will speak fast then. But coming in hot and heavy, thank you everybody for joining us. Let's roll, dude.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
Hey, so first off, congratulations, Donald J. Trump, the Republican nominee for president in the year 2024. Foregone conclusion, no doubt about it.
Yep.
We knew this was going to happen a year ago.
Yep.
The train has left that station. Get on board. The nitpickers and the ankle biters are out in full force.
Oh yeah,
I love that expression. And you can just suck on this then.
Suck on this, exactly. Not only the out in force do, but also all the people who want a piece of the action now, right? So the people, the rhinos, the people that pretend, the wannabes, the people who like to get in the limelight with Donald Trump and all the rest of it. So yeah, watch out for those people. And if you want to do a good check on those people, check out Laura Loomer. She's the awesome, most best person to vet these people. She will loomer you upside down and three ways from Sunday.
She's on her game lately. And I loved seeing the Hungarian president visiting Trump
just
a couple days ago.
Yeah.
That's how you play it.
You don't,
the Italian prime minister who I like, she went to visit Biden like a week ago. No, that's not the play.
That's okay. We don't need Berlusconi. Yeah, exactly. We went to Orban. He stopped in D.C. for an hour, saw Steve Bannon, went down to Mar-a-Lago, spent the whole day with Trump. They had a big,
they had a huge
party in the ballroom for him, which I've been in. It's like, it's fantastic. That's the way you roll, baby.
That's how you roll. Hey, real quick, before the main bulk of our show today is going to be the Robert Hur testimony, the special counsel. Just unbelievable stuff, everybody.
Incredible.
But hey, they had a huge vote about this TikTok. Okay. Now, we all know, everybody, if you're not already aware of this nasty, satanic, social media site completely owned by the Chinese Communist Party, by the way.
Yes, sir.
It's called something called ByteDance.
That's right.
B-Y-T-E.
Yep.
And let me tell you, it passed overwhelmingly to force ByteDance to have to sell it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, there's some mixed reactions out there. Donald Trump was not for this. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And after you kind of dive into it a little bit more, even though we know it's a terrible site, please keep your kids 1,000 miles away from this thing.
Yeah.
There's some First Amendment libertarians out there who think this is a bad idea. Number two, and as a second level thing, somebody said, you know what? Guess why the Democrats want this sold? It is the number one social media site in the world really right now, especially how much money it makes. Because why do they want it sold? They want it sold to an American company that they can put under
their
thumb.
That's right.
Just like they did with Google and Facebook,
Twitter, all of it.
You got to sell TikTok, this hugely influential pro-Hamas site, to an American company, and the Democrats are thinking, "Yeah, do that," and we are going to force them to play in our playbook.
Yeah, there's a very important Trojan horse in this story, Dave. So conceptually, on the surface, as you know, I've been pushing for this as a parent and as a MAGA guy for 2 years now. Get rid of TikTok. You have to ban the whole platform in the United States. The bill that was passed today in the House, and the reason it was overwhelming majority, which included a ton of Democrats, should always scare you, right? That should always make you sit up and you said, think twice. And the reason that is what you said. It's a Trojan horse. It basically would handicap Trump when he gets into office, because then they could do the same thing with any other platform. What we want to do is take the whole TikTok platform out of the United States, not just change the ownership, not just do whatever, right? So be very, very careful. The concept behind this bill is the right spirit, but the wording is not correct, and that's why it got the votes that it did in the House in Schumer's party. Sorry, in the Democratic side of the House. I don't think it's going to pass the Senate, so it may not go anywhere. But there's going to be major revisions and major edits to this issue.
We'll see how this plays out. It's very interesting. A lot of cross currents. Ultimately, you know, whether it's a good or a bad thing for us remains to be seen.
Well, I'll give you, people at home listening, a practical example. With the language that's in there right now, it could enable a future president, let's say Trump didn't win, right, to come in and basically ex-nay Rumble or ex-nay Parler or ex-nay Getter or any platform, right? So that it gives that kind of power. So you have to just be very, very careful that you're taking it away and taking it away for the right reasons.
Right, right. Interesting. We'll keep you guys posted on that one. Okay, so the big news, this actually happened yesterday. So Robert Herb, special counsel, was appointed by the Attorney General, okay, to basically do a deep dive on President Joe Biden's willful retention of classified documents.
Right.
Okay. Now, The report actually came out, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
That's right.
But this was him actually on camera. And, you know, yeah. Hey, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Same old cliche.
Live testimony in Congress. Yeah.
Live testimony always carries much more weight than a 1,000-page report that you can just kind of grab a few sentences from. But I thought he did a great job, actually.
Yeah, agreed.
He was very, very composed.
Yeah.
He laid it out there and he really held himself together because he was being browbeaten, steamrolled by, or trying to be steamrolled by these loathsome creatures of the Democrats, Jay Paul, Swalwell,
oh, yeah.
Shifty Schiff,
all of them,
basically trying to have him say, oh, nothing to see here, move along. But
yeah. Yeah.
The bottom line is we now know the receipts are right there in front of everybody. Seven places, classified documents were found in seven places throughout several locations that they shouldn't have been, whether it was Penn State, Biden's garage, Biden's toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, they were spread all over.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And two, he didn't exonerate the president. They kept trying to hammer that word
they
down
did.
His throat, and he kept saying, he kept throwing right back in their face, not so fast, people.
Yeah, and it was fantastic because I don't have that clip to play. I have a couple of clips I do want to play, Dave, from some of the testimony, which really will bring it to life for our listeners. But I think that one piece is where a very liberal congressperson was trying to get him to say her to say the word exonerate. The report did not exonerate Biden. The word exonerate was not used in the report. Exonerate has a very specific legal term, and no matter how many times she tries to read it into the microphone, that doesn't make it part of the record, right? So her stood his ground on that, which was fantastic. I do want to take a couple of minutes just to tee up a couple clips. We can talk about these kind of as we go. The first one is basically her kind of laying it down, the whole story. Each one of these is about a minute. We'll kind of talk in between. But I think this is critical, just kind of lay the framework. Some of these are just, you know, for folks at home, we only have 20 minutes to listen to this stuff. This is really quite amazing. So stand by for 1 second here.
The end of his vice presidency, when he was a private citizen, a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia. My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified material.
So that's pretty much number one, Dave, where he just basically, you know, kind of lays it out there. Private citizen, you know, willfully retained and so forth. Now, we'll get into this question in a second, but the question becomes, well, if he willfully retained it, why didn't you charge him? Why wasn't there a criminal referral? And we'll get into that discussion in 1 second. But I want to play a clip from Jim Jordan here and then one from Congressman Loudermilk. Just one second here.
The report to the White House.
Yes.
They saw change it. Did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
Yeah, I see that in the February 5th letter. Did they only correspond with you?
I'm sorry, Congressman. Are you asking if they corresponded with anyone else?
Once you gave the report to the White House,
yes.
They tried to. They saw changes. I have one letter here that's addressed to you on February 5th, and they said we're pleased that after more of a year of investigating, you've determined they respond to the report, and then they disagree with your They asked for you to change some of the things you had in your report, namely the fact that the president's memory was not very good. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but I also have two other letters. One on February 7th to Merrick Garland, where they raised the same concern, and then on February 12th, where they go to the DAG. Bradley Weinsheimer. You familiar with those?
I am familiar with those letters. Bradley Weinsheimer is an assistant or associate deputy attorney general.
Right, associate DAG, the ADAG, right?
Yes.
And Merrick Garland, of course, is the attorney general. So yes, you're familiar with the fact that they went over your head?
They were certainly entitled to write whatever letters they wished to Mr. Weinsheimer and to the attorney general.
I just find that interesting. You know, the White House, they're communicating with you throughout this one-year investigation, and then the White House says, "Oh, we're going to go to the principal's office, and we're going to talk about Mr. Herr's report." You find that interesting?
As I said, they were free to correspond with whomever in the federal government they wished to correspond with. I did engage in numerous communications with them during the.
So I think that's classic, right? Yet another case, right, where he, you know, basically the evidence just shows. Dead to right. These people are lying. They're complicit. They're going improper channels. It's just unbelievable.
But lay that out again, Frank. This is incredibly important. While the guy's writing the report, even after it comes out, the White House goes above him.
Above
like
him.
Like I said, to the principal's
above
office.
The special counsel's. Yeah, the principal thing was a joke. It's like a principal in a school. So above the special counsel's head, who's supposed to have supreme authority in this particular matter, and goes right to the attorney general's associate.
Yeah. And once again, if this was on the opposite side, if this was Donald Trump pulling this stuff, oh, my Lord.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Their hair would be on fire. But for them, it's okay. Yeah. And the bottom line of all this stuff also, I know you have one more clip, is that Herr said that Biden was too mentally disabled. And
right.
How many times did he say, I don't remember, a thousand times.
Exactly. We'll come back to that mental disabled thing and the criminal referral piece. Let's tie it off after I play Congressman Loudermilk's testimony. One second.
Found in President Biden's garage.
This is kind of a summary of where all the classified documents were not willfully retained.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, and his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute? Mr. Herr, classified documents were
found. So that pretty much, you know, just again, the guy had classified documents willfully retained, seven different locations, but he's old, he's daughtery, and it was hard to prove willfulness from Herr's perspective, which I think is a coin toss. But hey, look, you can't indict a sitting president. There's all these constitutional issues. Yeah. So I think he gave us the best ammo we could.
I agree. I think this line really kind of says it all as well, that he should not face charges hoarding the nation's secrets over a span of decades. This isn't just recent. This is over a span of decades.
Yeah.
On the grounds that jurors would likely see him as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
So if he hoarded the nation's secrets over a span of months, it would be okay to refer him criminally, but only over a span of decades, it's fine. Got it, Dave. Thanks.
Yeah, that's basically what it sums up. But, you know, they did try to throw that word exonerate down his throat a million times.
Of course they did, because it had very special legal meaning. That's why they tried to do it.
Sure. Yeah. They wanted just to say, oh, yes, he's completely innocent or some nonsense.
Yep.
It was a brilliant year. I've been saying this for a long time. The best stuff on TV now is just watch Capitol Here. Just watch C-SPAN.
C-SPAN, yeah.
It's exciting.
They really should start charging for it. I mean,
I'd pay.
Really, they should put it on the streaming platform somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, it's way better than reality. So will anything come of this? I think both sides will claim victory, but ultimately I think it helped our side much more.
That's right. I think you summarized it beautifully, Dave. Both sides will claim victory. It'll be great political fodder for us going into the election. There's ample evidence to anybody with eyeballs and objectivity that he trampled all over withholding classified documents. And then when the case comes up against Trump, where they had an unauthorized, unprecedented, illegitimate raid of Mar-a-Lago for not even 1% of the reasons, like nothing.
Right.
Like the stuff was locked up in one room under Secret Service protection and under the Presidential Records Act, the PRA, as a former president and the office of the former president, he had every single right to have those documents. Unlike Biden, who had no rights to have them, either as a private citizen, as a vice president, or as a senator. And he willfully retained documents on all three of those front. So I predict the charges against Trump on that side will go away.
I know. Yeah. Talk about a two-tiered justice system. I mean, 100%. You have to be incredibly partisan not to see that, or just be a fool.
Just delusional. Yeah. One of the two. Yeah. Or a Kool-Aid drinking lefty. That's one of the two.
Speaking of Kool-Aid drinking, let's turn our attention to Liz Cheney. I think she's drinking a lot more than just Kool-Aid, but hey, that's between her and her her drink maker.
Her maker's mark.
If that wasn't enough this week, you guys, it's only like Wednesday.
I know, right?
So just on Monday,
so much to get through.
They dropped the receipts, basically tearing the J6 committee a new one.
Totally.
We've talked about this for years. What a sham! Now. From the very beginning, since even before J6. The podcast. This was all a sham. But now we have. They released an incredible report, and once again, the Republicans don't get a home run out of this because they just release it and then they have a little couple of interviews and that's it. But this is a bombshell report,
right?
Basically saying, you know, and we've been kind of, this has kind of trickled out over the last few months that they buried the key evidence. They cherry picked and just of the things they wanted, they buried 90% of the stuff that they didn't want to have come out.
Right.
And basically they're saying, you know, hey, If you're going to talk about accusing Donald Trump of this or that, and you're only going to give us 10% of what is really there. Yeah. You mean now it's been destroyed? All the evidence has been destroyed. We know that Cassidy Hutchinson lied.
Yeah.
That's complete about I like how the limo driver said, no, he did not reach for the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And we still haven't gotten all the tapes from that day. We got another 5,000 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you won't you mean from J6. Yeah, the tapes from the Capitol Hill cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we talked a little bit about this last show. Every single element, every single fiduciary element of the J6 unselect committee, and it was unselect because there was no opposing counsel, there was no opportunity to depose witnesses from the other side. It was a total sham and a joke from the get-go. It was a PR stunt. That's why they hired an ex-Hollywood director to produce the whole thing. It was like a movie, right, basically. And that's what they wanted to craft. They wanted to craft a narrative and a movie, and frankly, they are pretty good at it. They're good at doing that. However, where did all the evidence go? Well, it's all gone. Paperwork, media, files, CD-ROMs, disk drives, video footage, all of it. Dave, it's all gone. It doesn't exist. It's been completely deleted, deleted from the deleted box. And as I talked about last show, pure exculpatory evidence regarding Trump and the fact that Kamala Harris is now shown on Capitol Hill cameras. She left the building at like 11 a.m. There was never any danger. The pipe bomb stuff is crap. It was all a setup. I mean, was there a lot of people there and was there a riot? Absolutely. But was there hundreds of Fed's directionists involved in that and complicit and so on and so forth? The guy who shot off the gun on the top of the balcony, that dude wasn't even one of ours. None of our side had any arms that day. Total exoneration. That narrative is now debunked.
And yet, even as we sit here right now, Liz and the rest of her cronies, they're doubling and tripling down on it. I mean, the verbiage that's coming out of Liz Cheney today.
What else are you going to do, right? If you're if you're in their shoes, oh, thank you so much for pointing that out. I'm so sorry I lied to the American people for 2 years. Yeah. You got me on that one. I'm Liz Cheney right now, right? Oh, you got me on that one. Or I'm Adam Shifty Shift, or I'm little Jamie Raskin, who's like 4'6". Oh, yeah, you got me on that one. They always double down. The more they're wrong, the more they double down. That's the whole point.
That is something we can learn from them, because they are not shy about putting their views out there and hanging on to the very, very end.
But the problem is we hold true to one core principle, and that's truth above all else, veritas. Yeah. And so it's not in our soul and our nature to lie.
No.
Whereas it's completely in their satanic souls and nature to not only lie, but double and triple down on lies. And it's not in our nature and our people's nature to do that.
Yeah, well said and true. Politics is a dirty business, though, and sometimes you
I'm not saying there's not liars
do.
On our side. Obviously, there's rhinos and the rest of it. I'm just saying, hey, if you're a pure play purist, MAGA, America First, you know, that's we can't run like Jamie Raskin. That's, I mean,
Yeah, I'm just glad it's there. It's for people to look at and read. And I'd still like to eventually have a full time, big time televised committee.
Well, Steve Bannon's called for actually once Trump gets back in, not to dig up old wounds, but that whole thing, the whole election, the whole stolen rigged election thing needs to be grounded. That needs to be run to ground and solved. Okay, there was a lot of problems. 2/3 of the American electorate, according to all the latest polls, believe the election was stolen. Doesn't matter what side you're on. So that has to be run to ground with a proper select committee, with opposing counsel, the opportunity to depose witnesses from both sides, and have it fair and square. We have to get to the bottom of it.
I must admit, I do love the name of this subcommittee. Okay, you ready for this? And by the way, it was Barry Loudermilk again. His name, I love that name, Loudermilk.
Yeah.
He was on this committee too, but it's called the Committee on House Administration's Subcommittee on Oversight. Wow.
Jesus.
So they
that sounds like a lot of bureaucracy to me, dude.
That's a lot of words right there, word salad. They'd spent a whole year on this. It's fascinating that it had come out. Like I said, I just wish it had, you know, a little more oomph behind it, because just going to get, you know, by this weekend, it'll be done. It'll be buried again.
And speaking of this weekend, I do have to talk about one story. I know we're running tight on time, Chris. He's probably looking at his watch in the car going, Frank, you got to like finish up 20 minutes. But, you know, there's another invasion coming, right? Another illegal invasion, another set of illegal alien invaders, Haiti, right? Haiti popped in again in the news this week. All hell is breaking loose in Haiti. Port-au-Prince, the prisons have been emptied out. The president can't even return to the country. He's overseas in Africa. He won't return. The city is controlled by warring gangs. There's cannibal. This sounds like a crazy movie, but it's true. There are cannibal gangs roving the streets. And there are now serious concerns, so serious that the Customs and Border Patrol and DHS has sent emergency action messages to Florida and to DeSantis and the governor, saying there are shiploads of migrants, meaning shiploads of illegal alien invaders, that will be heading for the shores of Florida. Watch out. And if you think we had problems with a few people coming over on trains in Jacumba in Southern California, you just wait till these dudes get near their shore. It's going to make the little Fidel Cuban crisis when that boy was in Miami and, you know, that whole SWAT team rescue thing. That's going to look like child's play compared to this. These people are seriously bad dudes. And Dave, one last thing. You probably, I think you know this, and you and I both have some history in Haiti. I have worked there in my past in a certain role. I won't say exactly what, but I have worked in that country. I've worked in that city. I had to be emergency evacuated on a U.S. Plane because of a civil unrest back in the old Papa Doc Duvalier days. So I know what that country is like. I have firsthand experience, and these people, there are nice people in Haiti, don't get me wrong, but there are some very, very bad dudes there. And guess who? It all comes back. Guess who profited off of this whole thing after the last fracas? Bill and Hillary. What they call her, Killary. I'm not sure why. But Bill and Hillary, the foundation, they raked in $13 billion for the country. About $1 billion went to Haiti. Where'd the other $12 billion go? Just saying. Don't know.
That sums it up. Hey, both you and I have both spent some good amount of time in Haiti back in the day. It was a disaster then. It's gotten worse. And just think of the hundreds of billions of dollars. And it just shows you can't change a country's morality or how they operate with just money,
especially
when it's been controlled by mobsters. And that specifically talking about Bill, Hillary, the Clinton Foundation.
Ukraine. Sorry, just clearing my throat there.
For a more modern take.
Yeah.
And you feel sorry for the average person out there because they from the time they're born, their life is doomed.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
You could have, with the money that they've received, you could have given each living person in Haiti like $1 million. Literally, $1 million.
And literally closed the country, blown up the island, and brought everyone to the United States and let them start over. But because this society we have has this sort of tearjerker, heartstrings, pull on my heart, oh, poor little black baby who doesn't have enough food, let's send him an envelope full of food to Haiti, send him $20 through the USAID, which, by the way, is controlled by the CIA, and just make myself feel better, Dave. It makes me feel better living here in rich old America. Just send a few bucks to those poor little black babies in Haiti. Well, guess what, dude? That you just did about the worst thing possible.
It's the top-down way of running things has never worked, and it never will work. I don't care how much money is involved. So
beautiful.
I feel really Florida is going to have a real time of it the next few months.
I'm just glad DeSantis is there. Tell you what, dude. I mean, you're right. It's going to be brutal, but there is either DeSantis or Abbott. I mean, thank God it's one of those two guys who are in a state where these people are going, because anybody else I wouldn't trust, right? Whether it's New Mexico or California or whatever. But yeah, they are heading to shore.
Oof, and it's gonna get nasty.
Baby, watch out. But the good thing is there's lots of way to block them. We have the Coast Guard, we have the Navy, we get the CBP. So we are moving assets into the area from what I hear from my sources. Dave, great to see you this week. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. And don't forget to share us on all your favorite podcast platforms of choice. We are out there everywhere, over a dozen podcast platforms now. And, of course, on social media, pretty much everywhere, at Rant and Rave 1776. And, Dave, we'll see you down the road. Always on the right side.